Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for February 24th. Well, let's start the real dig. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. From verse 4 through the end of the chapter is one of the more crucial comparisons of Old Covenant, New Covenant found in the entirety of the New Testament. This is that moment where Paul contrasts the Spirit and the letter. The Holy Spirit, which is invisible, and the letter, which is visible. This is Paul, and this is not the only time he will do this. It's just the first time he will do it in this book, but he will proceed and do it again in chapter 4 into 5, where he compares the natural with the supernatural. He did a little bit of that in 1 Corinthians 15 when he talked about the flesh versus the spirit, as in the fleshly man and the spirit man, first Adam, last Adam. So it's a sort of a theme Paul's exploring with the Corinthian people, but this is the real first kickoff of it in 2 Corinthians. So it starts with a comparison between the Holy Spirit and the letter, the invisible and the visible. He proceeds that. He sort of lets that carry him over into a comparison of ministry, an old covenant ministry versus a new covenant ministry. And then he gives interesting adjectives to describe each one that we'll dig into over the next several days. From there, he makes a comparison between covenants, what one covenant was versus another covenant, because he uses the word testament, which is the same for all intents and purposes as covenant. And so from covenant comparison, he proceeds into really the difference in what it means to be under the law versus what it means to be freed by the Holy Spirit. And that will be the conclusion of the chapter, which is really where the Holy Spirit goes to work. So Paul's journey here is to start by telling you that things happen through the Spirit, not through the letter, and to end by telling you that when you get that, when you sort of graduate from a Mosaic mentality into this new covenant mentality, you will finally walk in liberty the way the Holy Spirit intends you to walk in liberty. And Paul does not describe liberty as freedom from failure or never sinning again, but rather Paul looks at liberty as freedom from the condemnation and performance standards of the Mosaic law. And this is what sets Paul apart. This third chapter of 2 Corinthians really gives us an insight into what makes Paul unusual, because we don't see Peter teach this or James or John teach this. We see Jesus live this, but not teach it. And I have a theory about that, and that is that Jesus lives it because it's who he is. He is the walking embodiment of the Holy Spirit. He is the ministry of righteousness. He is a ministry of life. Doesn't teach it the way Paul does, because without the identifier of the Holy Spirit, this would have been heresy. Remember, Jesus tells his disciples, "There are many things I'd like to tell you, but I can't, because the Holy Spirit hasn't come." Have you ever wondered what was some of the things that Jesus wished he could teach the disciples, but he couldn't because they didn't have the Holy Spirit? Well, I think the things he wished he could teach is the things that he will teach through the Apostle Paul. Things like 2 Corinthians 3, that there's a glory in the new covenant that exceeds the glory of Moses to the point that it's not even close. Had Jesus went into that much detail on the earth prior to the cross and the resurrection, without the indwelling presence of the Spirit in his audience, what he was saying would have been heretical. Here's an example. In John 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000. The next day, a group of people cross the sea to have Jesus feed them breakfast. They want to make him a king, and Jesus is not putting up with that because it's not his time. And so he begins to teach some things that he knows they're not ready for. Without the identifier of the Holy Spirit, they can't take it. He says things like, "Unless a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no part in me. If a man eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he has my life in him." And the crowd, almost to the man, is so offended that they leave. Now, why are they so offended by something we can take in so easily? Well, part of it's their context. They're Jewish, and they're underneath the Sinaitic covenant of Moses. They've got temple worship and sacrifice. To eat the flesh off the altar is the job of the priest, but to share in a eat flesh, drink wine moment is to share in covenant, and to do that would be to betray Moses. Jesus is asking too much, and so the crowd leaves him. Jesus says to his disciples, "Will you go also?" Peter says, "To whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He trims his audience down to the 12. Well, maybe a little more than that, but you get the point. From 5,000 to a few. And he does it by teaching them something that's relatively easy for us to take under the new covenant. That we participate in him. He is our covenant meal. We feast on his goodness. We drink of his covenant. They couldn't do that. But you have the Holy Spirit, and so it's much easier for you. So it's why I say Paul is presenting something that sets him apart. It sets him aside from his peers. And he gives us a version of atonement that, though you don't see Jesus teach it word for word, you see Jesus live it out. Here's another example. Jesus goes to the top of a mountain we call Transfiguration. While he's there, he shines like the sun, and Moses and Elijah appear. Now, Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets to the Jewish to the Jewish mind, because Moses receives the law at Sinai. Elijah is a prophet, so Israel considered him so close to God, he's taken up in a chariot of fire. So they're representative of things bigger than themselves. So here's Jesus on a mountain, and who shows up? The law and the prophets. And then there's a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved son, hear him," and boom, Moses and Elijah disappear. And this is after Peter thought we should make three little houses, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. The voice of God responds to that, "No, listen to my son," boom, Moses and Elijah vanish. The only man left on the field is Jesus. And though he's not teaching it, he's living it out. And what's he living out? "I'm better than Moses and I'm better than Elijah. I'm the fulfillment of the law and I'm the fulfillment of the prophets. They fade, my glory doesn't fade." Paul picks that thought up in 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 4, "We have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God." And that's a definite for all of us. Verse 6, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Well, I did all my intro today of really trying to explain why chapter 3 is so important, and that left me with very little time. Let's start in verse 6 tomorrow. We'll break that down and begin our work verse by verse. I'll see you then. God bless.